I am four. The 29th of April, 1957 to the 28th of April, 1958. Over The Colour Grey by Richard Beatty. It is claimed that 1957 was the year of increased happiness, with the reasoning being that rationing was over and it was the age of Elvis Presley. We'd never had it so good, stated the Prime Minister. Righto, I guess. Okay, but I remembered none of this. I remembered the shorts I wore that scratched, itched and irritated. I remember the colour grey more than any other. I remember bedtime stories with Dad, not Father. I remember I grew taller than every other boy my age, and I liked that. Happiness was not a topic that came up in the Drummond household. It was just another facet of life, much the same as unhappiness. My God, those shorts. I chafe at the memory. The burn ran grey with a grey sky above. My parents' hair was turning grey. Was that my fault? The prevailing mood amongst grown-ups was undoubtedly grey, despite the happiness that threatened to envelop us all. The pencils with which I scribbled, sketched and shaded were grey, 2B or HB or something. I'd taken my first steps towards creativity, and it was grey on white. A stick man, a squiggle, a saying. The television was not black and white, but all shades of grey. Even the food was grey, but I didn't mind it. I knew those grey peas helped me grow. My dad read to me a bedtime story from two books, A Children's Garden of Verse by Robert Louis Stevenson and Struwwel Peter by Heinrich Hoffmann. This time was precious and fueled my burgeoning imagination. Dad would enunciate each word of a poem as he would a sermon, embellishing the story with a familiar voice that dripped and rose with the flow of the words. I battled sleep long after he'd left the room, the door slightly ajar, picturing the words, bringing them to life. This oftentimes led to colourful dreams that took a dark turn, grey, if you will. Other kids had their height notched onto walls and door frames, but not so in our house. My mum was house proud, and grey etched lines denoting her ever-growing son's height on the wallpaper was not ever an option. She knew I was tall for my age, and I didn't bring it up anyway. In the rare occasion I found myself in some other child's house and we were close in age, I'd stand tall in the knowledge my notch would be higher, a rare moment of personal triumph that I inwardly relished. I'm aged four and somewhat poorly, but I won't dwell upon that. I live to tell the tale. So there's an outcome. All good. Surprisingly, one thing I do a lot of is to chat, though not with another human being, but with my pet budgie named Charlie Boy. We have many and endless conversations, which I like to think involve us both. After all, I would listen intensely while he'd chirp and wobble. The tales he could tell me, in fact.
Jesus fucking Christ, this kid can go on. He tells me tales of nonsense and ailments and frankly, Mr. Shankly, I just don't care anymore. I'm stuck in what is admittedly a pretty decent standard of cage for common budgie such as I. So can't grumble too much about the accommodation, but I can't hide from the endless chatter. There's nowhere to go. I know that the main purpose of us house budgies is to sing a happy chirrup song and gratefully accept our lot, but I've landed a right one here in the pet shop. I saw other budgies headed off with elderly folk to what could be considered a bit of a budgie paradise, being spoilt rotten and having a radio to listen to, or even a telly to watch. Not for me, though. Oh, woe is budgie me. What? You want to know more about the kid? Bloody hell. Okay, he's tall. I'll give him that. Skinny, though. Not your typical four-year-old. His mind races sometime and goes off in tangents. I blame those parents of his father. Reads that. What was I saying? I blame those poems his father reads that I have to listen to every night. It's not exactly typical fairy tale stuff, princes and princesses and all that. No wonder this William lad is different. He tells me all his plans for the day, which sometimes sound pretty damn fun, but then he'll end up spending the bulk of the day in bed under the fancy quilt. Poorly, almost always poorly, contradictory child. Maybe it's a sign of what's to come for him. He sometimes does leave and head to a place he calls the Pen Kiln Burn. I then get regaled by tales of this river and the adventures to be had there. Despite his age, the kid can use his limited words to describe some place that I'd like to go to. Like, I'd ever get the chance to find out for myself.
I wish I knew what Charlie Boy said as he squawked and hissed, but I took comfort in my own belief that he understood me. My imagination started to blossom, and I began to have ideas of my own. There was a way out of the grey, and maybe it was through my thoughts. I did the same things that any other kid would, but I did them ever so slightly differently. I knew I wasn't exactly like other children, but I was fine with my lot. My parents loved me, and that was more than some. As I approached my fifth birthday, I started to feel somewhat better, and I became more confident in myself and my ways. Even as a child, I didn't really have a desire to please people and would oftentimes appear distant and solemn. I was that way inclined, and I didn't cause much fuss. Spring was here, the grey days slowly giving way to a rare sun, meaning I would soon be back in those dreadful shorts. Maybe I should stay in bed and talk to Charlie Boy some more.
Under A Wooden Fort by James Bell. I'm 4 years old, it's springtime in Scotland. Looking out of the window, I can see nature's rebirth, as my birthday is celebrated with cake and jelly with my family in Newton Stewart. I've never been this old, I'm told. The gathered relatives talk about me and the future that lies ahead. I'm excited about the future, but savouring the present. What do you want to be when you grow up? They'd ask. I want to be a man, I'd replied. They thought that was funny. Secretly, I thought I wanted to be the man. The curved wooden mantelpiece clock, the arbiter of time, lords it over the living room, ticking its constancy. I have friends in the nursery, and I see them at church. I was confused that they called my father Father as well. He was a Presbyterian minister, and we were all his flock, but I was the lamb he walked home after the Sunday service. The music at church is more interesting to me than the gobbledygook of the sermon. I know the words of the hymns and sing along, whilst watching the faces of the faithful. We have a Bakelite wireless radio, and the tunes that are broadcast are fascinating to me, the sounds of a different and faraway world. Whammo launched the first Frisbees this year, and so did I, at playgroup. The Russians launched Sputnik 1 and Sputnik 2. Sometimes, before bedtime, I'd sit just staring at the night sky. The enormity of the cosmos never fails to amaze me. Elvis Presley is scaling the heights of the hit parade, both here and in America, with All Shook Up, Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear, and Jailhouse Rock. Elvis buys Graceland. The grandeur of Graceland counterpoints my white room. I'm learning the importance of spectacle and disappointment. I had no fear when I was 4. That comes later. Coming off my bike for the first time was a painful trauma, though. No more tears, my mother said soothingly. In the summer, we marched up the hills nearby, and I was curious about the sheep's wool stuck on the barbed wire of the fences. Laughing whilst drinking a bottle of pop, as the fizzy drink's bubbles tickled the inside of my nose at Sunday school. I liked the number 4. 4 Gospels, 4 seasons, 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Have you made your bed? My mother would ask each morning. I always had made my bed. This would have new meaning in later life. I didn't really have a sweet tooth, but I loved Mother's homemade marmalade. On toast at breakfast, sat in the warmth of the kitchen. The aroma of freshly baked cakes. The aroma of freshly baked cakes emanating from the kitchen was a favourite childhood memory of mine. The joy of the jam's sweetness. Spam or coronation chicken often graced our supper table, with pineapple upside-down cake, or maybe a tin of ambrosia, Devon creamed rice for pudding. The Asian flu pandemic or the Suez crisis would be topics of conversation around the table. I didn't really understand what they were talking about. Watching the birds skitting around in the garden would occupy me for hours. I didn't know their names at the time, but there were robins, house sparrows, and blackbirds. On high days and holidays, I would wear my kilt, bare knees, and a liberating draftiness. It felt odd wearing a skirt, but my father wore a dress when he was ministering at church services. Meanwhile, on an island called Haiti, a man called François Duvalier is elected president. Papa Doc sounds like a funny alias to me. Summer is over now. As the season changes, my clothes get warmer and I wear more layers. I spend more time indoors. I have many toys to play with, a wooden fort and tin soldiers. Some are made of plastic by Fisher Price. I'm becoming more independent now. My creativity is growing, and I can express myself better. Catching balls is less fumblesome. I'm making rhymes. I know more words. Singing is fun. I'm full of beans and youthful energy. My memories of being 4 are sometimes hazy. But the things I do recall are clear and fresh in my mind, as if they happened yesterday. My childhood was a happy one. Some dreams are vivid and have stayed with me. One involved a man with a huge horn on his head and people with tall, white, pointed hats. They seemed ancient, but somehow justified. Autumn turns to winter. Elvis sings Blue Christmas. He's the king of joy. It's grim up north, so we build a fire. My imagination is sparked, watching the fire in the living room. The dancing flames warm my bones and hypnotize me. The wind would howl around the outside of our house, a fearful force of nature that I was wary of, but at the same time I liked the way it made the trees dance. At Hogmanay, I remember the resounding sound of glasses clinking at midnight and cries of Happy New Year, Slange, and Lang me your Lumreek. Our manse is near the River Cree, and watching the dappled trout swim by, I think, I'm not so much fishing in the rivers of life as just dipping a tentative toe into the black water.
A Troubled Dream. Darkly Hooded Figures by Mark Duckett. It's hard to remember exactly when they appeared. It started with childhood dreams. Late at night they'd appear. These darkly hooded figures would appear out of the mists on the River Cree, which is the river that runs through Newton Stewart. I'd moved here at 22 months old and lived here until I was 11 years old, so have many vivid memories of my life there. The figures would be shrouded in dark black gowns, silent apart from a faint guttural murmur. What they wanted from me, I was never sure, but felt that there was a connection to me. Was this a memory from a past life? Was this my link back to ancient times?